Blog Talk Radio.
No.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders International Ministries on Block Talk Radio. We thank God for our internet listeners, landline listeners. This is the third Monday of the month. You're listening to Restore Paths to Dwell In. It is the time set broadcast. We're on every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m. Wherever your voice may be heard, on the other side of the globe, on your internet dial, don't try to change a station. May God have the word for you on tonight. God has a word of encouragement for you on tonight. Wherever you're listening, again, by landline, cell phone, I thank God for the support of the listening audience and even those that have been supporting this broadcast, tuning in, listening in. Every time Restore Paths to Dwell In is on the air. Thank God for friends and ministry friends and associates and so on that have been supporting and listening in on this broadcast as well. Thank God for spiritual sons that have been listening in on the broadcast as well, and daughters. Thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. Amen. My lovely, beautiful wife. I thank God for her. My partner in ministry. Again, I have a word for you on tonight, a word from the Lord that will definitely encourage you on tonight. And so before we get into the Word of God on tonight, I thank God for our prophetess, Teresa, founder of Kingdom Builders International. I ask that you continue to keep her in prayer and those in prayer that I work with her behind the scenes to make this possible for you to listen to men and women of God on a weekly basis, bringing you the Word of God and what the Lord is saying. So I pray that you would truly be blessed as you continue to listen and support the men and women of God. Listen to this broadcast. Listen to the other broadcasts of those that come on. We thank God again for you, and we solicit your prayers as we continue to do the work of the Lord and continue to bring forth the Word of God to you. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord God, even on tonight. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise, Lord, whether it's daytime on the other side of the world and it's night here. Father, we pray right now, let there be an open heaven, Lord, over this internet radio global station, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the angels of the Lord begin to move forward, and even in the midst of your people, God, in every home, every business, Lord, wherever my voice is heard, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Where those that may be hearing this broadcast, where they're listening on their cell phones or on their landlines, God, in the name of Jesus, from the internet station, from their iPods or their iPads, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you begin to supernaturally move in the midst of your people, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, a supernatural turnaround in the lives of your people, Lord, whatever they're facing, whatever they may be going through, Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, I pray that you begin to encourage and strengthen the hearts in the minds of your people, Lord. Let them continue to stand on the word of God and what you have promised, Lord, for your promises are yea and amen, and they will continue to stay the course and fight the good fight of faith in the name of Jesus, and forget those things that are behind, but begin to reach for those things that are ahead, that they will begin to press towards the mark of the prize of the high call and that which is in Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray a supernatural strength begin to come upon your people, Lord. And Father, I even pray salvation on tonight for those that don't even know you, who will come to know you. But Father, I know that they cannot come except you draw them. Lord, I pray that you begin to draw those that don't even know you by your Spirit. Father, I pray right now, Lord, those that are in a backslidden state, God, those that are halted between two opinions, God, Lord, I pray that you begin to draw them by your Spirit, because you are married to the backslider, God, in the name of Jesus. I break off spirits of stagnation. I break off every lie of the enemy. I come against spirits of doubt and unbelief in the name of Jesus. I crush it. I dismantle it right now. I pull it down in the name of Jesus. I just release and speak faith in the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. I charge your faith. Let your faith be charged right now. Let faith come alive in your life right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, begin to turn, Father God, those prayer requests into testimonies, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you get the glory out of your people's lives. Father, we humble ourselves before you, and we repent for the omissions and the commissions of our sins, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, cause us to bear forth the fruits of the Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and crown us with your wisdom, Lord God. And Father, we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and ask that you would speak through me your words, Lord, because I can do nothing without you, Lord. Anoint my lips, God, in the name of you. Let your oracles flow forth from me, Lord. Lord, I yield myself unto you. I yield this vessel unto you, Lord, for you to use for your glory and for the kingdom of God. Manifest your presence and your glory in the midst of your people, God. Lord, show yourself strong in the midst of your people, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let miracles, signs, and wonders be wrought right in their very midst. Lord, let your people be in high and great expectations, God, from you on tonight, Lord. Let them begin to put a demand on the mantle. Let them begin to put a demand on the anointing, God. Let them begin to hunger and thirst, Lord God, for you, Lord, and believe you, God, that you're going to move, Lord, in the name of Jesus, concerning them, Lord, and that you hear and that you answer prayer, God. And we thank you and we praise you in advance, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen and amen. Well, people, God, want to begin to get right into the word of God. You know how quickly time goes by, especially when you're ministering the word of God and the Holy Spirit is downloading from heaven into the man of God or into the woman of God's spirit. And we just easily to lose track of time. So I don't want to do that. I just want to be able to give you what the Lord has given me, and I want to give you all God has given me to give unto you, the people of God. I pray that you truly will be blessed for tonight. I just ask that you grab a pad or a pen or a piece of paper, something that you can jot down scriptures and take some notes and refer to. In your own quiet time with the Lord, or in your own time of Selah, which means to meditate on, ponder, think about, in your own quiet time with God, and just trust and believe God, even in your prayer time. So go with me. I'm pretty sure grab your Bible as well. Open up the Word of God so that you can be able to read for yourself, and not just only take my word for it, but that you can read the Word of God for yourself. So go with me to Luke, the first chapter, starting at the 20th verse. And I'm going to be from the King James Bible. That's Luke, the first chapter, starting at the 20th verse. And the Bible reads as following. It reads like this: "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." Let me read that one more time. "And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." So where are you coming from with this, Apostle? What are you saying here? What's the scripture that you're reading to me here? Let's rewind. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go up back some verses. Let's go back to verse 13, but let me give you a little bit of history behind this particular chapter here. And this is dealing with Zacharias, and he was married to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was Mary's eldest cousin, but like her older cousin, much older than Mary. And Elizabeth was barren, and Zacharias, he was up in age, and Elizabeth was up in age, and even as the Word of God said that she was barren and was stricken, well stricken in years. And so during that time, Zachariah, his assignment, he was a priest who executed his office before the Lord, and he was one that in the order of his course, basically, he was what God would have him to do, and he was basically executing his office. And what he did was he kept the incense lit in the temple, the oil in the lamp in the temple. And so he executed his assignment, his office, and that's something that he did daily, and he was blameless. He kept the commandments of the Lord and blameless before God, but yet he was praying, and yet he was believing God to answer a prayer for him. And I believe he happened to be praying for a child. I believe that he's believing God for a child, even though it doesn't say what he was praying and believing God for, but I believe that it was a child, because the Word of God begins to say this in verse 13. But the angel said unto him, let's go back to verse 12. And when Zechariah saw, now let's go back to verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So that means Zechariah had to have been praying and believing God for a son, basically. That's what it looked like. The Lord of God is saying here that he was praying, and that the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and the angel of the Lord said unto him that God had answered his prayer. That was the purpose of him showing up and revealing himself unto him, because he was bringing him a message from the Lord. And how many know that God is still calling his angels, sending his messenger angels to deliver his word and his message unto the people, delivering his message and his word unto those that are of the Lord, those that are seeking the face of the Lord, those that are chosen of the Lord, those whose motives are right when it comes to the things of God, those that are diligently, like I said, seeking the presence of God, seeking God's will, just seeking for him. And so God sent him the answer to his prayer and let him know that his prayer was answered through, as the word of God said, this angel. And let him know and told him that he's going to have a son, and look at his son. And I can, those of you that have been tuning in and listening to some of my past broadcasts, where God had me for some of the broadcasts ministering on purpose and destiny, and concerning the call of God, and concerning how God had predestined and preordained, you know, our paths and what we shall do and what we were called to do and everything, and even to the point where God is detailed, how we serve a detailed God, and how God even gives instructions concerning your call, concerning your purpose, concerning, you know, the details of your life and everything. And you know, at times God will show you that in a vision or in a dream, or God will use a prophet or apostle or to come to confirm or to let you know that you're chosen, that you at the call of the Lord to do a specific work for him, and even give you details concerning the call. Or but here, let's read here in the Word of God. There was a problem here. There's a issue here that was going on, and the issue was this: Zacharias had a little problem believing what God has promised him when the angel began to speak. And that's where we come in verse 20 in Luke. And it said, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, wait a minute. Apostle, you just got through reading earlier up in some verses. Let's go back to some verses. You just got through reading where Zacharias, you know, he executed his office, you know, just in the temple of the Lord daily. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. And not only that, you know, the multitude of the people were praying, you know, during the time of incense. And it says here that Zacharias, he had to have been praying, because it says here that the angel told him to fear not, for thy prayer is heard. So why would the angel tell him, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, when yet Zechariah was praying and looking for God to answer, you know, his prayer? And look at this. He's been a man of God, doing what God would have him to do, but yet the angel of the Lord had to tell him, you're going to be dumb, because the reason being, Zechariah was about to speak doubt out of his mouth. He was about to abort what the Lord said that he was going to do concerning the prayers that he had sent up before the Lord, and concerning the prayers of the time of incense, of the, you know, of the saints were praying during that time when the incense was being lit in the temple. And so he was about to abort, sabotage, or delay what God was about to bring to pass in his life. Now, this was God answering his prayer. And so, basically, he must was not believing what he was praying. He must did not have any faith in what he was praying. He was just, even though he was saying this is what he wants, but he really wasn't believing it himself. And how many times have we have prayed and we believed God for something, but yet we didn't believe? I know you scratched your head for a minute. That don't make any sense, man of God. That don't make any sense at all. I know that doesn't make any sense at all. How many times have we prayed and we ask and we believe God, saying that we believe God for something, but we don't believe when we pray? Yes, many saints, you are listening to me right now under the sound of my voice. You've been believing God for something. Now God is about to or has manifest this thing or letting you know that it is near, that it's close, because you have waited for so long. Notice here saying Zacharias and Elizabeth waited. She was barren. They were stricken in years. They were well old, stricken in years. And pretty much you feel like, well, you know, the woman be like, well, I'm well beyond childbearing years. You know, I'm up in age, and you know, I've been believing God all the years for a child, and it didn't happen. And how many old back then in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, if a woman was barren and could not bear any children, she was frowned upon, and she was considered that her womb was cursed, that she was cursed by God. But how many know that God can allow certain things to happen so that he can get the glory out of your life, so that he can make believers out of haters, believers out of doubters? You may have told somebody that God was going to do this, God was going to do that, God was going to do X, Y, Z in your life. And these people have been sitting around looking and seeing, and time that went by and some years that went by, but yet there was no manifestation. But yet, you know, God has sent those to confirm his word in your life of that which he promised you that he was going to do. But yet that time went by and many years went by, but yet you looked and you've seen and was like, you have not seen a manifestation yet. You have not seen this word come to pass yet, and to the point where you don't even believe it anymore. But yet you will pray, but yet you still don't even believe it anymore. But I want to encourage you on tonight, get ready, because God is about to manifest and materialize that which he has promised you. And God had to call the angel of the Lord to command Zacharias to be silent, to be quiet. He had to put a dumb spirit upon him because he didn't want him to abort what God was about to do. Sometimes when God begins to manifest and bring to pass what he had promised us, and sitting back and waiting for so long, we'd be in so much disbelief because it took so long for it to happen, for it to come to pass, and we don't really believe it ourselves. So we end up speaking doubt and unbelief into what we have been praying for all this time. James says it like this. We have not because we ask not, and when we do, we pray amiss. And what are you saying, Apostle? That's right. You have not because you ask not, and when you do, you don't even believe what you're praying anyway. You're praying amiss. You get it? You're praying amiss. You're hitting and you're missing. Your prayers are off target. That's what's going on. Your prayers are on. God wants you to stand on his word. Stand and believe him for what he had promised. Be like Abraham, who in Romans 4, I believe, who was fully persuaded and that staggered not at the promises of God, and he believed God, that God was going to perform that which he said that he was going to do. And so that's what Abraham did, and that's what God wanted to do. And the enemy have brought in a spirit of stagger into our lives because we're looking at it, it's taking too long. We're looking at our circumstances. We're looking at it, don't look like things are falling through. Contracts are falling through. Deals are falling through. It seems like I'm right there at the door. It seems like right when it's about to happen, it just falls right through. I don't understand. It seems like everything I seem to touch is just turning into mud. It's turning into dirt. It don't seem to be working out. I seem to be like in a pit, like Joseph. And now, you know, they done cast me into a pit somewhere, and I feel like I cannot get out. There's no water. I'm thirsty in this pit. I seem like I don't have no help or anything. But God wants you to know that He's with you. Regardless of where you may be at in your life right now, regardless of whatever season that you may be experiencing in your life, I want to encourage you on tonight. That's why don't let a spirit of jealousy come upon you. Don't let a spirit of envy come upon you when you see your brother or your sister being blessed or their season of blessing, because that's why we're not to compare, the Word of God said, ourselves one to another, because you don't know what they've been through in the season of their life, and now God is blessing them. Now is their season of, as you say, of spring. Is their season of summer blessing, where they can be able to enjoy the blessing of the Lord because they paid the price. They went through faithfully. They believed God through the midst of what they were going through in their season, whether they were going through and experiencing a dry season in their life, a season of lack, a season of want, a season of hardship, a season of where they may have experienced broken relationship, a season of where they may have had some disappointing moments in their life, a season of betrayal, a season where they may have lost their job, a season where they may experience those turning their backs on them. They thought that they was their friends or those in the, you know, in the church turned on them, a season of being rejected, a season of persecution, or a season of being alone, a season of promises that were made, but the promises were broken and was not followed through, that promise of that promotion and did not come through, a season of things not working out right the way that we thought that they would also work out, but yet that person stood in there, trusted God, weathered the storm through that season with praise and with thanksgiving, being like Paul and Silas in their midnight hour when they could have been murmuring, they could have been complaining, saying, God, why me? Why is all these things come upon me? Or they could have been given to the religious ones, the self-righteous one, that would come and say, you must have sinned. You must have did something wrong that this has come upon you. It must be some kind of sin in your life, but they're not rightly discerning the Spirit of God in operation in your life, or rightly discerning what season you are in your life automatically, because it looks like negative things are happening in your life. You're losing this, you're losing that, automatically assume that you must have sinned, you must have did something against God. That's why all these things, this thing have come upon you. Like Job's buddies. Now, these were spoken in Job's buddies. And all these things, and God had to use a young man to, in a way, to prophesy, to speak to Job, and to stand up for Job. And let me tell you that God will have someone to stand up for you, to stand up for you in your season of tribulation, or in your season of test and trials. That person that will stand in the gap for you, that person that will speak words of encouragement into your life, that person that will defend you against the enemy. Amen. When the enemy tried to come in like the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him, that means a banner saying that he belongs to me, she belongs to me, they are mine, do not touch them. And this may even be a thing for you where you're hidden and people don't understand what happened to you. You don't fell off the scene. You know, we don't hear too much from you no more. This may be your season of hiding. This may be your season of consecration, your season of fasting and praying before the Lord. But what I want to encourage you and share with you more so on tonight, that there's an appointed time, a proper time, and season that God begins to bring what He has promised to pass, or that prayer that you have been believing Him for to pass in your life. That's an appointed time, a proper time, and a season. And that's what was taking place with Zacharias and Elizabeth. So now, even though all these years went by, now it was a time for that prayer to come to pass, to materialize, to manifest itself in the natural. And that prayer was for them, a child. And so it was that time for that child to be materialized in Elizabeth's womb, barren womb. And that's what took place. Their prayers were answered. But again, the angel of the Lord had to put a dumb spirit on Zacharias because he was about to speak out in unbelief. Again, he was about to abort what the Lord was about to do. And the Lord was answering his prayer. He was about to speak against his own prayer. Sometimes we do that. One minute we believe God, the next minute we don't. One minute we're praying, we don't believe what we are praying. We're just saying words. But God wants to believe what we're praying and stand upon his word, regardless of how it may have seemed drawn out, regardless of how long you may have been experiencing the drought in your life. This time of testing with God, I want you to trust and to believe in him because he's making you, he's molding you, he's preparing you, he's getting you ready for the blessing. And God got that set time that he's going to cause that which you have been waiting on to come to pass to manifest itself right before you, right in your midst. You don't know how God is going to move. You don't know how God is going to bless you. You don't know how God is going to bring that thing to pass in your life. But one thing about God, you cannot figure God out. We cannot figure God out. That's what's so amazing with him. The moment you think that you know how God's going to come, boom, he just literally blows your mind. And that's what makes him, unpredictable. He's an unpredictable God. So you cannot and will not be able to figure him out, no matter how hard you sit and try to think or try to analyze or try to play this thing out. And sometimes we always, at times we expect God to move the same way that he did before. Let me give you a case in point, an example. I like to use myself. There was this man of God before he became a pastor years ago. He's gone on now, passed on. This was years ago, just way before he became a pastor. I used to listen to him on the radio on WYCA. Yes, I know it's like I'm giving a plug in, WYCA. But I would tune in. Listen to his broadcast whenever he come on because I enjoyed his ministry. I enjoyed his broadcast. It was just such an encouragement and a blessing to me. And I was going through this financial situation in my life, and I just really needed some finances. I really needed a move of God concerning my finances in my life. So I called into the broadcast, and I was like a regular. That will call in at times on the broadcast and on the off-air number. And so I called in, and the man of God said, what can I do for you? What do you need prayer for? And I said, well, you know, I need prayer for my finances. And he said, you know what? He said, the Lord is telling me to have you sow a seed of $20. He said, do this quickly. Don't wait. If you can't get it out, get it into the mail quickly and watch and see what God do. And I want you to sow that and do it quickly. And so, of course, in the course of that week, I did have one. And sold $20 into his ministry. I tell you, I think a week or 2 weeks later, I got a check in the mail for $3,000. Do you hear me say for God? By me being obedient and didn't wait, went and sold that seed right away to the man of God, obeying the Lord. A couple of weeks later, I got a check, unexpected check, not even expecting it. I was believing God concerning my finances that God was going to turn around just like the man of God said, watch and see what God do. And sure enough, unexpected check for $3,000 in the mail. And I was able to go and take care of some business, but let me tell you the flip side, the other side of to this one. That's up there. Now, when God blessed me, I should have still went back and still sow some more into the man of God's life to be a blessing into the man of God's life, which I didn't. I ended up being selfish, self-centered, and I went on a shopping spree and went up buying all this stuff and didn't really get a chance to really take care of my business like I was supposed to take care of it. So it ended up causing me to even be more in debt because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, and then I didn't even end up being a blessing to the man of God. I ended up with squandering what the Lord had blessed me with. So I want to encourage you. Now, this was years ago. So I want to encourage you. When God bless you, don't go and squander when the man of God gives you instructions on what to do when they give you God unction and to give you words and instructions what to do. Follow those instructions. and obey God and do that. And when God bless you, come back, because that's just not it, because you sold that seed, but that's not it. God, turn back around and come back and still be a blessing to that man of God or that woman of God. But God has, I just wanted to say that, but I want to talk about both sides, because, you know, even when it comes to the Word of God, God shows both sides concerning the Word of God. He showed the good side and the other side of the men and the women of God, the things that the shortcomings and where they're falling short, where they have missed the mark. So you need to know both sides. God blessed me, but I didn't do right by the man of God. I didn't do right by that which God had blessed me with. So I want to encourage you, don't let that happen to you. So those are words of wisdom for those that are listening under the sound of my voice. When God bless you, don't be selfish or self-centered. Be a blessing. Have a mindset of God. Who can I be a blessing to? Lord, who would you have me to get to on today? You know, have a selfless mindset. Don't think of the thing, think on the things of yourself, but think on the things of others. But getting back to the Word of God here, in the Amplified Version says this: now behold, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak to the day when those things take place, because you have not believed that I told you. You know that? But my words are the kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. God's word shall not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that which it was sent out to do. So, beloved, I want to say this to you. God promised you something. His word is not going to return unto him void, but you have to stand on the word of God, knowing that he's going to bring to pass that which he said he's going to do with his ministry. God called you to ministry. He said, he that ministered, let him wait on his ministry. So if God promised you ministry, wait on it. It shall come to pass. If God promised you a record deal, a contract, wait on it. It shall come to pass. If God promised you a child, it shall come to pass. In its appointed time, in the proper time and season, God will bring it to pass. Ecclesiastes 1 and 10 says this: is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which was before us. So what are you saying here? What I'm saying is there's nothing new under the sun. And so don't let nobody fool you. Say this is new, that is new, or whatever. There's nothing new under the sun. So what are you saying? What I'm saying is this: God had already preordained, predestined what shall be. And even when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. And so it's up to us to walk out what God had promised us in our purpose, in our plan, and our destiny concerning our life. It's up to us to line up with the word of God in order for God to bring to pass what he said that he's going to bring to pass concerning us, whether it's ministry, whether it's business, whether it's whatever it is that you believe in God for, that you have up before the Lord. God wants you to stand on his word. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. Let me give you a definition of appointed. This is the Merriam-Webster Dictionary version. It says this: to name officially, and it's and I want to break it down, because I want to break down this definition, proper time, which is a compound word here, and I want to break it down here. Proper means strictly accurate and correct. Time is the point or period when something occurs, occasion, an appointed fix or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end. Season is, the definition of season is at the right time. So when we put it all together, appointed, proper time, and season, it says this: to name officially, strictly accurate, correct, the point of period when something occurs, occasion, an appointed fix or customary moment or hour for something to happen, begin, or end at the right time. I just put all the definitions together. And to sum it up, the season is at the right time. So at the right time, during your season, God's going to bring to pass what he said that he's going to bring to pass. If you don't believe me, again, ask Paul and Silas when they were praying in the midnight hour, threw into prison, in the inner prison, in solitary confinement, as I would like to say, had shivs on them, feathers on them, locked up. Now, somebody, you know, got you in handcuffs, you're already in solitary confinement. And they had to put handcuffs and all this stuff on you to add to it and everything. So, again, like I said, they could have been complaining, they could have been Muslim, but they didn't. They was just worshiping, praising God, singing songs unto the Lord. And what happened? God heard them and answered their prayers. And you know the rest. And when God did that, God blessed the others that was around them. Not only did he loose them from their prison, opened the prison doors for them, he opened the prison doors for all of those that was there because of them. You don't know that you're somebody's blessing. You don't know that you're going through for somebody else, that you're paying the price for somebody else, blessing that they don't have to go through because you have already paid the price for them. There's an anointing that's being released upon your life for somebody else because of what you have went through. You paid the price, just like the generals before us that have paved the way for us and they made it easier for us concerning the things of God. So enough what's going on with you, that you're paying a price if you stay this course, if you walk with the right spirit, the murmuring attitude, not complaining. And when you do that, all you're doing is causing yourself to wander around in circles in the world like the children of Israel. That's what happened with them. When they will continue to murmur and complaining, they begin to walk around in circles. Let me tell you this, because Hebrews 11 and 3 says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what are you framing your world with? So what words are you speaking that are framed in your world? You're speaking negatively. This is what is framing your world. You frame your world with a negative environment. You murmuring, you're complaining, you're speaking, that's all you're speaking, negative stuff, releasing negative out of your mouth. That's what your world is going to be like. So if you're speaking faith and decreeing a thing, as the word of God said, it shall be established, speaking the word, decreeing and declaring, you know, what God said in his, you know, in his word. Is that what you're framing your word with, your atmosphere, with the word of God, with the presence of God, with the spirit of God, with the Holy Ghost, with the anointing of the Lord speaking and prophesying to your atmosphere, being like God, because we're made in his image and in his likeness. So as God said in the beginning, let there be, and there was, and God said, and God saw that it was good, that which God said, he saw it. And so that's what God wants us to do, is we speak like he did, because we are the temples of the living God, and God lives on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Jesus lives on the inside of us. And so if Jesus lives on the inside of us, aren't we supposed to handle things and situations like he did? Aren't we not supposed to speak the word of God like he did? Are we not supposed to prophesy, amen, like he did speak to the winds as the disciples, they were troubled and Jesus was sleeping. In the midst of that, Jesus was experiencing rest and peace with the disciples. They didn't have no peace, no rest. They were troubled because they went and disturbed Jesus in his sleep. And they say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And isn't it like some people come running to you, don't you care about my situation? Don't you care about what I'm going through? You know, crying and, you know, you're blowing up your pastor's phone, or you're running, wearing your prayer part of their ears and stuff because you're not believing God. For yourself, you run into them trying to trouble them, for them to pray for you, to get a prayer through for you. And, you know, God wants you to be able for your prayer life to be developed for yourself, and know how to stand on the word of God for yourself, and be able to speak to the storm for yourself. And that's why Jesus was leading by example with the disciples. So he just came right out and began to prophesy to the winds and to the waves, and commanded them to be still. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to begin to prophesy. When it seems like all the disruption going on around you, when it seems like the enemy is woofing, because that's all he's doing, he's woofing. And you see these storms and these mirages, so to speak, of waves and waters, and it seems like you're sinking, and God wants you to begin to prophesy. Do as Jesus, they begin to prophesy to it and command it to be still, peace, be still. A lot of times you got to pray and ask God to give you peace through the midst of what's going on around you. Sometimes you may be in a situation where God may not even want you to speak to the storm that's going on around you. God may want you to just be quiet and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord so that God gets the glory out of your life. Case in point, the blind man, the religious people came around Jesus saying, you know, what did this young man do, this boy do, that this thing had come upon him? He must have sinned, or there must have been some kind of sin in his family line, like a bloodline curse thing. So Jesus had to set him straight. You know, he's not blind because his parents sinned. That don't have nothing to do with it. Or it was nothing that he did on his own. That he turned out this way because he was born blind. So it's this way so that God may be glorified, so that God may get the glory. And your situation may be the way it is so that God can get the glory. People may see your situation, may see you like, oh, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to be a woman of God. You're supposed to be a saint, a professing Christian. But look at your situation. Look all messed up. You know, you look like you were on top. You had this, you had that, but now, you know, look at you now. It looks like you're struggling. You're going through. You look like you're down and out. You know, now then you got people looking down at you. You got people saying, the enemy's no sin now. Where's your God at now? Where is that now? You know, look at you now. Look at your situation now. You thought you were stuck walking around talking about your God, and God is good, and Jesus is this, and Jesus is that. Where's your Jesus and that? Where's the Holy Spirit at now? The Word of God said this in Psalms 20, the Lord will hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob will defend thee. So you don't have to even defend yourself. God will defend you, beloved. You don't have to even take action in your own hand against your enemy. Again, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight your battles. A lot of times we can mess up situations by opening up our mouth. Sometimes you just got to be quiet, be silent, and not even speak, like Zacharias. Sometimes God has to put a dumb spirit upon our lips so that we don't even mess things up, speaking prematurely or saying, we want to watch. Why this delay? Why is it taking so long for things to come to pass? Because we're going around, you know, telling our mouths, saying things that God did not want us to say yet, or saying things prematurely. And so the enemy is catching it in the atmosphere and fighting and warring against it. And sometimes it's just to be quiet and not say certain things out in the opening. And for me, that's why it's good to even pray in the spirit so the enemy cannot hear your prayers. It just drives them mad to begin to pray in the spirit, because you want to understand. You want to capture your prayers so that you can get discouraged. You want to do you like he did with Daniel. And Daniel set his heart to pray and to fast before the Lord. Those 21 days went on a fast to fast for Israel and to get an answer from God, but his prayer was held up by the prince of Persia. It was held up by a principality. And so it wasn't that God did not answer his prayer, but that it was a warfare going on. That's why Paul told Timothy to war concerning the prophetic word that had been given you. And a lot of times we have to war concerning our prayers. We have to war concerning the prophetic word that had been prophesied and confirmed and spoken over our life. It's going to take some warfare. It's going to take some fighting, just like the children of Israel, the Joshua generation, not the Moses generation. But the Joshua generation, God told them that you shall drive them out little by little in order for them to enter into the promised land. So they had to fight in order to get into the promised land. They had to drive the enemy out little by little. God could have came in with one hand and just removed the enemy out with one swoop, but he didn't. So there was something they had to do. They had the war, because when you do that, warfare does develop you. It calls you to become skillful. It calls you to be before the Lord even the more. It calls you to depend upon God and not look at yourself in pride and say, I did this thing by my own hand. I did this by my own ability. You know, it was I know that you said I. It was I that did this. No. But then we can look and say, you know what, I don't know how I made it overall or how I made it through this thing. You know, I was racked in pain in my body, almost unto death going through. The doctor almost wanted to give me a death sentence, pronounced me that I only had 2 months to live. But I believe God. I have stood in there. I stood on God's word. And I just kept declaring that I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord, and God performed the miraculous in my life, and so that's what happened when you begin to decree and declare the word of God, regardless of what you are going through in your life, and don't allow, and if you feel like that, as the world will say, or how we would say it, my mama told me that if I don't have anything good to say about a person, don't say none at all. So I want to say like this. If you don't have nothing good to say about your situation, don't say nothing at all. Just be quiet. Be silent. Don't say nothing at all. Begin to plead the Fifth. Sometimes you have to plead the Fifth Amendment because you're going to end up incriminating yourself. You begin to speak, and that's what happens. Sometimes people go, we begin to incriminate ourselves because we begin to speak things and say things that are contrary to the word of God, and we end up, the enemy runs with that, and we end up incriminating ourselves. Then we get discouraged and wonder what happened, and we get upset and angry and mad at God. Why did this not come to pass? Why did it not happen? Or that was a false, he was a false prophet, or she was a false prophet, because it didn't happen. No, it don't have nothing to do with them, the prophets. It don't have nothing to do with the past. You get upset and you're mad and you're angry at your past because your pastor said that God's going to do this and do that in your life. But because of you getting in your flesh and release negative words out of your mouth, when it delayed or possibly even aborted what God was going to do, now you're mad at your pastor saying that they, you know, that they got a false spirit. So you need to repent and ask God to forgive you for saying that about your pastor, your leader, or saying that about the, you know, the apostle or the prophet or the man of God, the woman of God. You got to use to speak if it's a hard thing in your life. A lot of times it be us. The reason why things are held up, the reason why things are delayed, the reason why things have not come to pass yet. Because God wants us to get in line. God wants to change us to change our thing. God will think, our thinking can be messed up. We can have negative thinking, even though we may not even be saying it or speaking it out. But just our thinking may be wrong, negative. We may have, our mindset may be full of doubt and unbelief. And sometimes we got to be like that man, Lord, help my unbelief. What I believe, but help my unbelief. I don't sound crazy, but that's in the word. But sometimes you got to be like, Lord, help my unbelief. So just say with me, Lord, help my unbelief. I know you say this, well, you know, you told me that this year was my year. Then it was told me that last year was my year. Then it was told the year before that was my year. I'm getting tired of hearing that this year is my year. Then you have to do a self-examination. You have to look and see, well, what is it? Is it some? Is it me? Is that the reason why, you know, this thing is haven't come to pass or held up? Is it my patience? Is it that I'm lacking patience? Is it that I'm not really trusting you? Is it something that you're working in me, you know, building up in me? Is it that you're trying to teach me something that I'm not learning, something that I'm not getting, something that where that you don't want me to shipwreck down the line, or that when I come into my inheritance, when I come into my promise, when I come into my blessing, that I don't end up going backwards? I remember a man of God shared this. Well, I'm going to say that one of my spiritual sons shared this with me. He said that this was some years ago. He lived in another state. And he was saying that he knew this man of God that had prophesied to this couple, this married couple, and said that they were going to come into some money, come into some wealth. Hopefully I'm telling this right. But anyway, but he, and God brought the thing to pass. And so this couple came back to be a blessing to this man of God. I believe they blessed him with over $100,000. And what ended up happening, because that man of God was not prepared to handle that type of money, he ended up backsliding. He ended up going back out into the world. And that's something that God don't want with us, with the people of God. You have those that are coming to the God is prospered, the God is blessed, but they end up falling away from God. And God don't want that to be so in these last times. That's why God is preparing his people. He's preparing us, our character, our mindset, amen, to handle the blessings, to handle so that we don't become ruined, or so that we don't become lifted up in pride on ourselves, or so that we don't be looking down upon people and saying, you know, I arrived, I made it, you know, I got mine, I'm not thinking about you, and you know, and thinking that we're, you know, the stuff and all these different things like that. And so God is having this, so no, I don't want you. I want you to be humble. I want you to, again, to be a blessing. I want the mindset that when I say, hey, I want you to release these finances to this church. I want you to help this person. I want you to do this. I want you to do, I want you to buy this property so you can be a blessing to this person and give it away. I want you to do this, and I want you to do that so that we can be under the instructions of the Lord. Yes, God wants to be able to bless us, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and out of no sorrow, but it is God that gives us power to get wealth, so that he may establish his covenant with us as he promised our fathers. So God wants to bring that to pass. Well, people, God, I know my time is short. I'm just about out of time. And hopefully I can try to go over a few more of these scriptures, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be able to open up the conference, the radio line, to take any prayer requests. I'll have the ability to be able to do so, but I just pray truly that you are being blessed on tonight. But I'm in the few moments that I have, and just go with me quickly to John, the 20th chapter, starting at the 24th verse. I'm going to read the 24th and 29th verse. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. So Jesus walked through the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. But then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold, my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so sometimes we can get like that, and people of God, you know, we can have that moment, except I don't see it, I'm not going to believe it. So, but here's the situation. Thomas, one of the disciples that walked with the Lord, he didn't believe the disciples when they said they'd seen Jesus. So he said, as I can see him for myself and do these things, put my finger, you know, reach him and just put, you know, touch his finger, the hole in his hand, and put my finger in his side, I'm not going to believe. And so when he saw Jesus, then all of a sudden he believed, saying, my Lord, all of a sudden Jesus is his Lord and all that. So sometimes we don't believe God until God delivers us out of sin. And then all of a sudden we say, oh, my Lord, my God, oh, God is God. And we didn't even believe him anyway, but because of God's sovereignty and his sovereignty, God said, let me go on and deliver this food. Let me go on and answer this, this person's prayer, which they only, you know, anyway. And let me show my goodness and my sovereignty and just go ahead and do it for them. And so, but God, Jesus is going to say this, blessed is he. Blessed are they that have not seen but yet believe. So do you fall in the category of those that don't see but believe God? Or you fall into the category of that I'm not going to believe unless I see it? So which category do you fall in? Don't answer that. Take that to the Lord in prayer. And in closing, Isaiah the 50th chapter, the 4th verse says this, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the mouth, that I should know how to speak a word in season. to him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning, and we hear to hear as the Lord. Not only that God will give you a tongue of the Lord, but he'll give you hearing of the Lord. Again, it goes back that you should know when to speak a word in season. So know being in force, because you can hurt your season if you don't speak the right things in your season. Well, people, God, my time is up. I pray that you will bless and that you will encourage concerning the word of God on tonight. So I want to encourage everybody who's got to be quiet and don't say anything, because you can hinder your own blessing. You can hinder. You can be right there at the door of what God has promised for your life, but you can mess it all up and set things back and start all over again like the children of Israel. You don't want to be like them, keep wondering, and never enter into your promise. Let your children end up receiving the promise, what you were supposed to get, they end up getting. And I know that I don't want that to be my case. I want to inherit. I want the promises of God for my life and what God has promised me. I want to be so that I leave here not obtaining the promises, and my kids end up getting what God had promised me. I end up not getting it because of my doubt, or because of me not believing God and trusting in the Lord, or murmuring and complaining. They end up inheriting the promise. Amen. But know this, that you're going to be blessed and your children are going to be blessed. They're going to be double blessed. All that, they're going to be blessed because you received the promise of God in your life. Amen. But what God has promised them as well. So they're going to be doubly blessed. So with that being said, my time is up. Saints of God, I want to take this opportunity. For those of you that may not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I just want you to repeat after me. I want you to repeat after me. Those that you don't know Jesus, that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And those that of you that may be in a backslidden state. So Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You're saved. The angels in heaven are rejoicing in heaven. And I want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, spirit-filled, Holy Ghost tongue, talking, casting out devils, believe in healing, deliverance, prophetic ministry, the whole role. Church, go there, get mentored, get into every Bible study, new members class, training class, get into everything, learn, soak up everything. Get into a mentoring program, a summit, the church, want to stay connected, and then allow God to use the gift or the talent he's given you with the church. Connect with the local house and allow God to use you. Get connected with the vision of the house, because you're part of the vision of the house. And that pastor, that leader, they need you, because you're part of the vision that God has given them. And be part of bringing that to pass. I'm going to encourage those that have just came back to the Lord. You was with God, and you just came back. And I'm going to encourage you to get around those that are strong in the Lord, and stay around those that are strong in the Lord, and stay in God. You know, don't allow the enemy to trick you away from things of God anymore. Regardless of what you may have seen in the church or whatever, may have discouraged, disappointing moment that happened in your life, you may have lost a loved one. You'll be surprised, those that have, you know, turned away from the Lord because they, you know, lost a loved one, they got upset, they believed God to heal them, and God may not have healed them, but just took them on. They're in a better place. God knows what he's doing. And then it caused you to be upset and be angry with God, turn away from God. Don't, you know, come. God loves you. God knows what he's doing. Just come on back and allow God to use God's purpose and destiny fulfilled in your life. You know, I'm kind of tickled some. My first lady, my wife, Apostle Angel, she was saying on the message should have been entitled, "Shh, be quiet." That's a good one. Shh, be quiet. Amen. Or she said this. It should have been titled, another message should have been titled, "Shut Your Mouth." Amen. That's how we say it. But anyway, you have heard this You can listen to Restore the Past or Dwell In, and you can hear this broadcast out of Chicago, the Windy City. We like to call this the Windy City. Yeah, thank God for the internet listeners, landline listeners, those that have tuned in to this broadcast. And those of you that have been supporting Repair the Breach International Ministry every first and third Monday of the month, you know, faithfully tuning in, hearing to this broadcast, I thank God for you. If you need prayer, you can give us a call on our church line at area code 773-888-3356. Also, too, you can leave your name and your number, and if no one get back to you right away, we're going to return all calls in order in which they are received, so someone will get back with you. So you can leave on there, you know, the how late you may be up or whatever, you know, the good time to call you that you still be up and everything, and we will gladly return your call. Or if you just want to call just to say some encouraging words or whatever, we do appreciate that as well. But I'm sorry there was a delay so far as the broadcast. As you heard me show our last broadcast about one of my spiritual sons, him and I, his ministry is it's a Sure House Kingdom ministry. And I'm going to be coming back on WYCA. That was supposed to have been this month, but there was some delays. And so we just believe God. See, whenever you're doing the work, the enemy is going, you're going to come up against opposition. And so that's why I encourage the people of God to continue to pray. And so we will keep you informed. We still believe in God that we're going to be on the air in September. Amen. The first Saturday in September, we still believe in God. For that, so look for us on 102.3 on your FM dial and 102.3.com on your internet browser at 1 o'clock, no, actually 1:30, from 1:30 to 2 o'clock every Saturday. So we're looking, hopefully we're looking to be on the air September the 9th on WYCA. Again, you can tune in at 102.3. It's going to be 102.3 on your FM dial or on the internet radio. Go to the website www.102.3.com and tune in and listen to Sure House Kingdom Ministry with Apostle Stevie Collins and myself, Apostle Carl Flowers. This is my spiritual son broadcast, but I am going to be working with him doing some team ministry. Amen. And this is what the kingdom is all about. I thank God for him that he's not a selfish man of God, and that he is his kingdom, and he and that's what he thinks about. Amen. Team ministry, hey, you like, you know, what can we do, you know, together, you know, to make things happen concerning the kingdom, and how can we be a blessing to the kingdom of God. But also, too, we're going to be letting you know about our crusade that we're going to be doing as well. And hopefully we're shooting for September the 20th. And that's on a Saturday at 6 p.m., so we're going to keep you updated with that for sure. It's a go. We're going to let you know what hotel we're going to be at holding and what area we're going to be at holding the crusade. Again, I went over my time. I thank God for you. Thank God for those you're tuning in. I want you to tune in and listen to Restore Past to Dwell In. The first Monday of the month at 8 p.m. Again, we're on every first and third Mondays of the month at 8 p.m. And again, call area code 773-888-3356. Leave your email address if you want us to email you on any upcoming events or crusades in your area that we're going to be doing. And you want to be part of it, you want to be able to meet us, myself and my wife and us, face-to-face, you can be able to, you have the opportunity to be able to do that. We would love to meet you, those that have been supporting and listening to this broadcast. Again, well, I'm way out and over my time here. Again, I thank God for you. Again, just tune in and listen to the broadcast. I'm Apostle Flowers. I have been your host. And in parting, I want to say this. The Lord bless and keep thee. The Lord lift up his countenance and shine his face upon thee. The Lord give you peace and shalom. Though your enemies may rise up against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways, and that the favor of the Lord surround you is like a shoe. God bless you. I love you. And also, too, we do have a conference coming up, a CD release with our good friend, Pastor Terrence Hall. It's going to be October the 10th in Carpentersville, so mark your calendar for that event. We'll be singing with the men of God and the great men of God. Thank God for him. He's on the cutting edge of worship. You would enjoy this worship event, so I'm inviting you. I'm going to give you the address on the next upcoming broadcast so that you can be part of it. You can go on Facebook and look up Pastor Terrence Hall. You can put him up on Facebook, Jesus, his ministry. Amen. Pastor Terrence Hall, and go on his Facebook page, friend him and click like, comment. Jesus Pathway. Let's say Jesus Pathway. You can go on his Facebook page, Jesus Pathway Ministry, and go on his event page and click going. You're going to this event. So we're asking all of you that would love to come and attend this event. It's going to be in Carpentersville, Illinois. You want to be a part of this event, go to Jesus Pathway Ministry on Facebook. Go to the events page. Those of you that have a Facebook page, and click on going to this event. We appreciate it. You do that, then also send a shout out to me and let me know. Go to my Facebook page as well. Send me a message saying, hey, I went and clicked on going. Amen. And let me know that you'll be going as well. That's Apostle Carl Flowers. That's my Facebook page. And just send me a message and say, hey, I went and click the events page that I will be going. So we want to know, because we just looking for the Spirit of God to begin to move in worship in the place. So, amen. So I'm going to keep you updated in the form of the CD release of my brother, the mighty man of God, the psalmist of the Lord and minstrel, apostle of the Lord, is going to be ministering and song. We're looking to have a good time in the Lord that day. And also, too, we're going to be giving away some free singles. Amen. Music. So you definitely got to come out for that. You want to be a blessing, to be able to sow back into the people of God's life. Amen. Well, that's it. I'm way over my time. Thank God for you. Again, tune in again on the first Monday of the month. And this is Restore Pastor Dorland. Again, I've been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. Thank you. God bless you, and good night.